We're going to begin in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 13. Now, my daughter didn't know what I was preaching on today, but she quoted a verse I was going to use, but it's probably going to come out next week, and that is the verse in Isaiah about renewing our strength, like the eagles. We're going to talk about today a very important subject for all of us to be reminded of from time to time, and that is the renewal of our youth. Yes. You say amen. How exciting is that? Are you ready to receive that today? The renewing of your youth. Now, what we don't mean by that is immaturity, pimples, you know, insecurity, all more homework, all the things that went along with our younger years. We don't mean the bad stuff. Okay. Renewal of our youth. But let's begin here in 1 Thessalonians 4. And let me say this about Dr. Barclay's visit in 2 weeks. We understand your schedules are very busy. Some of you get up very early on Monday mornings. That's why we do our Sunday night service. Whenever we do it, 6 o'clock. We try to hit an early hour, and we're done by about 8, at the most 8:30, if the Holy Ghost is moving wildly. But don't miss that meeting. If you have been in church a while and you remember years ago, guys like Lester Summerall and Hilton Sutton and John Osteen, some of the what we call the greats, the immortals in the kingdom, the great generals, if you will, that have moved on in the kingdom of God, and they moved on to be with the Lord. Most of those men have mentored Dr. Mark Barclay. And so this is the caliber of the speaker we're bringing in. He's not just a doctor because he's got a doctorate. He's the doc because God has raised him up. And you're just going to be greatly impacted. So I really want to encourage you, move heaven and earth, your schedule, your work schedule, whatever, to be here on the 27th. It's going to be great. It's going to be powerful. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our ears to hear what you would say to us. Let this word be the life-giving word of God to our souls today. We receive it as that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, to grieve like the rest. I'm reading from the NIV now. To grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. The Apostle Paul writes here, and in the context, he's talking about the coming of the Lord, and that we do have hope. Jesus is coming someday. And if you have loved ones that have died and gone on to heaven, you're going to see him again. But he says this, I don't want you to be ignorant and grieve like the rest. So I'm going to start off my message to say this. I don't want you to be ignorant and age like the rest. How do we not grieve like the rest? Paul says here, don't be ignorant. And then he goes on to explain some truths that will keep us not in the dark, but in the light. And I'm going to bring out some truths today that will put you in a new light. Because you're not called to age like the rest. You're not called to grieve like the rest, and you're not called to age like the rest. In fact, you're not called to die like the rest. God has a specific way for his people to go to be with him in glory. He has a specific way for you and I to live our lives in health and then to go be with him peaceably. But what most of us are stuck with is the memories of, the visions of, the experiences of what we've seen in the lives of the people around us, relatives, friends, people we've known, how they've aged, how they've died, etc. And if you don't renew your mind, you're kind of left with that. And Paul says here, don't be ignorant. That's right. I've got some truth to share with you. And it will bring you into a new understanding so that you're not, quote unquote, like the rest. How many of you don't want to be like the rest? Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the rest. Now, I've known a few great men of God who I've admired and heard about or either known or heard about who have aged very, very well. And I'm on the track to age very, very well. And I'm going to teach you from the Word of God how to age very, very well, because we're all called to this. Amen. You know, a significant part of redemption for you and I is not just forgiveness of sins, not just the healing of our body, but literally the renewal of our youth. Amen. It's in the atonement for you. And I'm going to show you that in the Word of God in just a moment. What does that mean, the renewing of your youth? We're speaking about divine health. Okay? Divine healing is a means to that end. God's called you and I to divine health. Divine health is an ongoing condition. Divine healing comes intermittently whenever something pops up. How many of you know we got things that pop up?
Yes.
Pains, aches, pains, whatever. Things pop up. And we deal with those things one-on-one. We deal with them as they come so that we can walk in what? Divine health.
Yes.
And then we can experience also the renewing of our youth. Now listen, this what I'm talking to you about today is the stuff of fairy tales. I mean, the world laughs about, you know, discovering the fountain of youth. And over the centuries, there have been, you know, funny stories of guys who sold basically snake oil in the form of, if you take this tonic three times a day, it'll make you 10 years younger, whatever. There's been all kinds of tricks, and you see them, and I see them all the time as well. They're all over the infomercials and the QVC and this and that. You know, this will make you 10 years younger. This will make you 20. This will make you feel like 20 again. Okay, all right. And it's got all kinds of side effects, too. But God has a plan for you and I. And He has a provision for you and I. And it is to renew the strength of our youth. Let's look at Psalm 103. Keep in mind this. We were never intended to die. Ponder that for a moment as we talk about the renewing of our youth. So that your brain says, yeah, yeah, Scott, I'm getting older. I'm feeling it. You know, come on, let's talk about something else today. No. Your mind is renewed to the world's ways, typically, and what we've seen around us, what we have come to expect. But we were never created to die. Think about that for a moment. When sin entered the world, the guys that lived the longest never lived beyond 1,000 years. But they lived up 800-900 years. Enoch died young. Actually, he didn't die. He just got caught out of here. Do you know how old Enoch was when he got caught out of here? It's easy to remember. 365. And that was considered young in his day. Guys were living 700-800 years around that time. And he was 365. So we look and we go, oh, you know, 70's on just on the horizon. 80's coming around the corner. You know, old is always 20 years ahead of wherever you're at, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it works. But keep in mind, we were never intended to die. Psalm 103, a very familiar passage to us. Psalm 103. This is our bread and butter today. Talking about the renewing of our youth. I'm going to read it in the King James. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 in Psalm 103. Read it together with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It tells us right there. Now, this was written by David, who at the time of his death, it says that he was at a good old age and well advanced in years. Some speculate age 70, could have been a little bit older, but the Bible describes it well advanced in years. You know, it's not so much when you go to be with the Lord, if you live to 50, 70, 80, 90, 100, it's have you had a good life? Have you had a good full life? And that's what the Lord gives us. But it says here in these passages that God desires to renew our youth. Now, folks, if God didn't put it in the Word, if He didn't promise it to us, we couldn't expect it. If He didn't talk about it, we would be almost arrogant to come, or very bold and brash to bring it up. Because it seems far-fetched. It doesn't seem like something we deserve. But God says here, His desire, He satisfies us so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. How does He do this? Well, let's look carefully at these verses again. Because the Word has the answer to all our questions right there within the Word. If you look closer, look at verse 3 again. He does what? Forgiveth. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Sounds very basic, but one of the steps to having your youth renewed is being forgiven. Being forgiven. Now, we're all aware that people who have lived a rugged life, and truthfully, a very sin-filled life, what happens to them? They age prematurely.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at anybody in here. Lest you think I'm talking about you. They age prematurely. Well, on the flip side, if we have our sins forgiven,
yes,
all our iniquities forgiven? Should we not expect that we would reverse the aging process?
Yes.
Because we're all aware, even heathen know, a sinful, rugged life will age you prematurely.
Yeah.
But having your sins forgiven, all, talking about the really bad ones, the ones you knew better as a believer, because this is talking to believers. David's a covenant man. The man that wrote this is a covenant man. He's not talking to the Gentile heathen nations. He's talking to his own people, the covenant people of Israel. And he says, God desires to renew your youth.
Yes.
And he starts by forgiving all
yes.
your iniquities.
Hallelujah.
All your sins. Sounds very basic. Sounds like something we would say in church. As one little boy heard in Sunday school, his teacher said, now what is brown and furry and hides nuts in the ground in the wintertime? The little boy raised his hand and said, I know we're supposed to say Jesus, but it sounds a whole lot like a squirrel to me. So you'd expect that we would say this in church, that forgiveness of sins would help renew your youth. But I'm telling you, saints, this is important. Look down at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
Amen.
The ones who have sinned, but fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I've said it before, it bears repeating. If you didn't hear it at the time, I shared it before. And it's not my original thought, but it's very true. It's awesome. If you go north on the globe, eventually you'll be on the other side, and what will happen? You'll head south. But if you go east on the globe, will you ever head west?
No.
See the picture the Lord's trying to show us here? He has forgiven our sins. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. Saints, we must receive that. First important step in you drinking from the fountain of youth, if you will, is walking in the forgiveness of God. As a believer. As a believer. You're forgiven. You must forgive yourself. That's a toughie. You got to forgive yourself. For as the east is far from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. Can you say hallelujah? Secondly, you must forgive others. Now, this gets a little hard. We have plenty of opportunity for that, forgiving others. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 18 that when we don't forgive others, he used the analogy of a man who's turned over to tormentors. And we taught about this a few weeks ago in our discipleship class and said, this principle, even though we're on this side of the cross and in the age of grace, it still bears out. You see it all the time. I see it in people's lives. I've experienced it myself. When you don't forgive others, you lock yourself in prison to be tormented. You, in a sense, you open the door for the tormentors to come in. God didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself. All right, let's take responsibility. Let the chips fall where they may. Let's let the chips fall where they should fall. When we hold unforgiveness toward another, we set ourselves up to be tormented by the evil one. And God says here, you want to stay young? You want to be strong? You want to be vibrant? Have your youth renewed?
Forgive.
Forgive.
Amen.
Forgive. Because he has forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our iniquities from us. Hallelujah. There's nothing anybody will ever do to you that's as bad as you did to Jesus. If he forgave you for your sin and me for my sin, no sin that's ever committed against us will be greater than that, folks.
Right. Amen.
I know we know that, but we've got to be reminded.
Yes.
Because little things get under our skin, and they are little things compared to our offense against the cross. Thirdly, we must forgive God. And we're going to talk about forgiving others a little more next week. I believe we're going to hover over this subject some more. And there's a lot to say here about forgiving others. But I want to say this. It's important that we forgive God. God is not the source of bad in your life. Jesus declared in John 10:10, and he came to reveal the Father. He said, I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. Should be the happiest people on the planet.
Yes.
The most robust, healthy, energetic, can't be stopped, crazy taking up hobbies at your old age because your youth is being renewed, people that other people know. Why? Because you've walked in forgiveness. Jesus came to give life. Jesus came to give life. Religion teaches us, don't preach that prosperity gospel. Don't preach that healing gospel. I'm telling you, Jesus said for himself, I've come that you may have life.
Yes.
And a great life.
Yes.
That's right.
Now it's about following him. Of course. But he promises us life. Second way that we walk in renewed youth. Last part of verse 3. Look at it with me. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who healeth all thy diseases. Beware the satanic tactic. The old proverbial frog in the frying pan. You heard the story. I actually read on the internet that it's not true, but people use it as an analogy, so I'm going to use it too. They say that if you put a frog in boiling water, he'll jump right out, right? But if you put him in a pan of water that's room temperature and slowly start to heat that up, he might stay there till he boils. You see, what happens so many times along the way in our journey called life, the enemy will put a little something on us. He doesn't drop a terminal disease on us all at once, all the time. I mean, sometimes that happens. But a lot of times it's the little stuff. Just to turn the heat up just a little bit. And in that, what happens is over time, we acquire this and that and the other. And before you know it, we've got a complexity of health issues that we should have nipped in the bud decades ago. I mean, you got people saying things like, well, don't bother praying for me, preacher. I've had this limp for 30 years. What? You mean they brought that package to your door 30 years ago and you signed for it? We need to have an attitude that says, I'll nip it in the bud. You know what a bud is, don't you? I wrote it down. It's the rudiments of a future flower. That's a bud. And what the devil's plan is in your life and mine is to put little things in our, so little seeds in our health that will eventually flower.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you leave them be, you'll look up in 10, 20, 30 years, and then you do have a complex issue. And we've heard lots of stories about folks that have passed away because of the virus that's gone around. And most of what we've seen, just on a basic medical level, this is not a spiritual observation, this is just a general knowledge science thing, is that the people that have died from this virus had other issues related, or not related, but other issues that the virus complicated, right? Are you with me?
That's right.
So what does that go to show? If we walk in this life over time, we can, if we're not careful, we can allow things to acquire, and as the phrase goes, pile on. You know, in football, they have this thing, don't pile on. In fact, I think it's illegal, isn't it? You guys that are sports fans. You know, if a guy's already on the ground, he's been tackled, and then the other team comes, and they just begin to pile on. That's get you a yellow flag real quick. Is it still yellow?
Yeah.
Shows you the last time I watched football. Okay. So pile on. The enemy desires to pile on you and I. And he'll start with just a little pain. Just a little twinge. Just a little, oh, that kind of hurts when I stretch it. And over time, that gets a little stiff. And now you can't move that shoulder. Now you can't use that shoulder. We have a slogan around here, pain-free mobility.
Amen.
That's our slogan.
Amen.
Pain-free mobility. Why? Because God renews our youth.
That's right.
He doesn't renew our middle age. What good would that do?
Yeah, really.
We're already having to wear larger belts and different size shirts. He renews our youth.
Amen.
That age in life when we didn't think about the size of our clothes, when we didn't think about what time to go to bed because we just ran all day until we fell into bed exhausted. And we didn't even know what exhausted felt like because we were young.
Yeah.
He renews our youth.
Amen.
How does he do it? Forgiving all our sins. Healing all our diseases. The little things. Jesus said this in Mark 7. Turn over to, keep your finger in 103. We're coming back to it. But look over in Mark 7 with me. Are you receiving this today?
Amen.
Mark 7, verse 27. Jesus had gone to a place. In verse 24, it says the borders of Tyre and Sidon. That's way on the north side of Israel, up by Lebanon. Okay? That's where he's at in this picture, in this story. Now, if you look at the, if you're familiar with the map, great. What's better is if you go there. So just plan to go there with us when the Lord opens the way to go to Israel. And just go there with us and see about where Tyre and Sidon is. But he went to a place way on the north side. And you know, from what I can tell in this story, he only went up there to heal this one situation. And then he came back to the Sea of Galilee. Isn't Jesus beautiful? He just goes out of his way to heal one person. I just have to read it in context. It's so fabulous. Let's see. Look at verse 24. He went there into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and would have no man know it. He didn't want anybody in town to know he is in town, because what? They would have mobbed him. But he could not be hid. Of course not. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Reckon he knew she'd be coming? Of course. He knew it by the Spirit. The Spirit said, I got a mission for you. He said, I'm on it. He goes up to this town. He hides. He hides in the house and sits there and waits. And here comes the mob. But in the mob is this one woman. The woman was a Greek, verse 26, a Syrophoenician by nation. Now listen, what they're saying here is that this woman dwelt in a land of idol worship. And what happens when you worship idols? You're really worshiping demons. That's how she opened the door for her daughter to become demon possessed. And Jesus goes, listen, it's like saying this. This passage could have read this way. Jesus went to the wrong side of the tracks. Jesus went to the ghetto. Jesus went to that part of town nobody wants to go to, because there's some crazy people live over there. That's what it's saying. He went there, and she was from Syrophoenicia. Now let's read on. She besought him he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered, yes, Lord, but the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said, for this saying, go your way. The devil has gone out of your daughter. We taught a message a couple years ago called it, healing is the children's bread. You remember that, some of you that were with us? Healing is the children's bread. And that's what Jesus teaches us here. He says, it's not right for me to take the gift of healing, which is intended for the Jewish people at this time while I'm walking the earth. Gentiles later, after I rise from the dead. But it's not right to take that, the children's bread, and cast it to the dogs. But this woman says, yeah, but Lord, I'll go you one better. The dogs get to at least eat the crumbs. And Jesus says, you're right. What is he doing? He's opening the way just a little bit for the Gentiles to go ahead and partake, even though he hasn't gone to the cross yet. It's glorious.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes and her daughter's healed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Healing is the children's bread. Now, what is it about bread? I love how the Holy Spirit uses certain comparisons. Bread is significant because of what? He didn't say healing is the children's cake. Because then someone could have said, yeah, well, we only get cake once a year on our birthday. No, but he said bread. What is the picture of bread? Bread means it's daily sustenance.
Amen.
Folks, we need healing every day.
Right.
You need healing every day.
Right.
Don't get caught up in, I've had perfect health all my life. I've never been to the hospital, never broken a bone.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I'm recognizing, the older I get, that the devil comes and tries to bring little things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Strange things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Aches that weren't there before. Little stuff to pile on. And that's why we need to take a daily dose of the children's bread, which is healing, every day. Every day. I want to encourage you to take communion in your homes every day. Or as often as you, as Jesus said, as often as you do this. As often as you feel to do this. But partake regularly of your children's bread, because it's your portion. Amen? It's for you. And it will keep the enemy at bay as you feed on that daily bread. The goal is, at the end of your life, you'll have a whole string of testimonies. The Lord healed me from this, 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 this. Everything that popped up all along the way. I had a long, full life. But it wasn't without trouble. It wasn't without challenge. It wasn't without little things popping up here and there. But Jesus healed me of them all. Amen?
Amen.
That's the goal, to have that kind of testimony. To be that strong in your faith muscle that when this popped up, you got it, you nipped it in the bud. You didn't let it linger.
That's right.
You didn't accept it. You didn't embrace it. You know, when we send emails, we have what in our emails? Sometimes we're going to send a file, a Word document, or a picture, a JPEG. We have what we call attachments. And the enemy comes to bring attachments.
Yeah.
Well, just cut that thing off. Quick. Daily. That's what you're called to. Number three, another way that the Lord renews our youth. Look in verse 4 of Psalm 103. We're back in Psalm 103 now. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Destruction. What is this? One translation says the pit. I liken it to tragedy. Terrible accidents. Maiming. Severe, destructive occurrences. The Lord redeems our life from destruction.
Yes. Amen.
Hey, that's a biggie.
Yes.
The wreck you missed. The fire that didn't catch on you when you was playing around the grill. Those big moments in life that could have been life-altering forever. Yes. For you and I. The Bible says here, almost unbeknownst to us at times, because of His great mercy that He crowns us with, He redeems us. It means He buys us back from destruction. Aren't you glad? Hey, that'll hold you back from going back to your youth. If that thing hits you, it'll take you back. But He redeems us. Undoing of all kinds. You know, there was a story in the Old Testament where David was going to go and kill a guy because the guy got under his skin. We talked last week about not letting the world get under your skin. You remember that? Keep yourself in the love of God. And there's a story where Nabal was a great, like a cattle rancher. And David and his men, they were living in the wilderness, and they'd gotten so good at doing it because they'd been on the run from Saul for so long. They just naturally, out in the wilderness, out in the wild, they got really good. They would be like cowpokes. We'd call them, you know, cowboys in today's lingo. And they were so good at it, they decided, they came across this guy's, you know, his great ranch and his great spread of cattle. And they said, you know what, we'll just do this guy a favor. He's a fellow, you know, Israelite. We'll do him a favor and we'll protect his sheep by night. We'll just keep an eye on it, just as a favor. Because they're out, what do they got to lose? They're living out there under the sun of the stars as well. By the way, here's a little joke for you about old age. Speaking about under the stars. How are false teeth and the stars in the skies alike? They both come out at night. Just had to share that one with you. They both come out at night. False teeth and stars. So David's living under the stars. Back to the word. They both come out at night. So he's living under the stars, and long story short, Nabal refuses to compensate David and his men. Even though they've done him a great favor at no cost, no expense. They've just protected his sheep, his workers, day and night. Because they're warriors. That's what they do. And David says, saddle up, guys. We're going to kill this guy. We've done him a great favor, and all he's done is insult us. He's spit in our eye, so we're going after him. And he and 400 men, they come. And Nabal's wife, Abigail, hears about it. She says, oh, okay. So she loads up donkeys with all kinds of goodies and food and provisions. She takes it to David to intercept him in the way. And David said, thanks be to God who has kept me from shedding blood today and avenging my own, you know, my own enemies with my own hands. In other words, he says, God has redeemed me from the pit.
Amen.
Road rage is a pit.
Yes, it is.
It's a trap, Christian. Don't fall for it.
Amen.
Though they cut you off on the freeway. It's a trick. The enemy is trying to get you drawn into rage. Why? It's a pit. And the Lord redeems our life from destruction. That's what He did with David. Provocation can be a pit. Rage can be a pit to draw you in and cut you off early in life. That's a serious matter. God's will is long life. Psalm 91:16. With long life,
yes,
I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Long length of life, great quantity, and great quality.
Yes.
Now, what makes you happy doesn't make me happy necessarily. I like certain things in life. When I get to the end of my life, I'm going to look back and go, that was good. See, it was good for me, because that's how the Lord knows how to satisfy his children individually. He gives us quantity of life, and he gives us quality of life.
Amen.
And all along the way, he renews our youth like the eagles. Let me give you a few quick biblical examples of people who had their youth renewed. We've talked quite a bit about Caleb, 85 years old. He looks at, not Moses, Moses had gone on. He looks at Joshua and says, I'm ready. And Joshua says, what? You're 85, Caleb. Just go, let these young guys go out to battle. He says, no. I've been practicing for 40 years. I'm good at this spear throwing. I'm ready to go take on these giants. He said, I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40. Back then. What had been happening for 40 years in the desert for this man? His body clock had been going backwards.
Amen.
You say, is it really possible? Was he? It's just poetic speech. No, it's true. And the Bible says he took on some of the biggest and the baddest. The guy's name was Arba, I believe. He was like the father of all these giants in this one area. And Caleb took him on. Another man, Hezekiah. The Bible says God sent the prophet to Hezekiah and said, your time's up. You're going to get sick and die. You're not going to recover. And Hezekiah goes to the wall to pray. And he says, pours out his heart to God. He starts weeping. He says, God, remember all the things I've done for you. And God stops the prophet mid-track. And the prophet comes back and says, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And Hezekiah, like so many people in the Bible, says, show me a sign. He says, okay, well, do you want the sun to go forward 10 degrees or backward 10 degrees? Name your sign. Hezekiah says, well, it's no big deal for the sun to go forward 10 degrees on the sundial. It could go back. So Isaiah prays, and the sun goes backward. I should have practiced how to say that backward. That would have been really good. That would have been really... I'll have that for next week. The sun goes backward 10 degrees. And Hezekiah realizes, hey, this is true. God has just given me 15 years. God can give you time.
Amen.
When no one else gives you time or hope, God can give you hope.
Yes.
Amen. A few more examples. Sarah, age 90. Two different heathen kings said, I like her in my parade of women. Now, these were heathen kings. They weren't thinking, she's got a nice personality. That wasn't their motive. Sarah was beautiful to them. Why? Something in what she had believed in her heart for the last 10, 20, 25 years, as she listened to her husband talk all this faith about God's promise of giving her a child, something in that faith that she heard changed her from the inside out. And she became renewed in her youth.
Amen.
To the degree that a heathen king would say, is that your wife? Oh, good, okay, let's bring her to the palace. She had her youth renewed at age 90. Wow, what a great example that is, huh? And all the women said amen.
Amen.
Another example, we read it this week in our daily Bible readings. I want to encourage you, if you didn't get your Bible bookmark, jump in right with us just in time for Christmas. They're red, I hope you noticed, the cranberry red. I bordered the bookmark. So we had a story this last week in our readings in Mark chapter 14, verse 51, where it says that after all the disciples fled, you remember when Judas came into the garden of Gethsemane? And he's there with all these soldiers to arrest Jesus, and all the disciples fled. The other 11 fled. And it says, as they began to take Jesus, a young man followed him. It was naked, but dressed in linen cloths. Why does the Bible throw such odd stories in the middle of a story to include a naked boy while Jesus is being arrested? I'm glad you asked. A man I greatly admire when it comes to Bible scholarship, Rick Renner, surmises this, that when Jesus said, when they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, I am. And the soldiers fell backward to the ground. The ground shook with his voice, with the power of his name, I am. And in that part of the Garden of Gethsemane, there are graves. There would have been fresh graves where people were wrapped in linen cloths. Naked except for the linen cloths. And up from the grave raises a young man. Talk about renewing your youth. And he begins to follow the voice, the one who had spoke him to life. Until they tried to grab him too. They didn't want him to be a testimony of Jesus' miraculous power. Well, that's what Rick surmises, and I'm with Rick. Renewing of your youth. Jesus can raise the dead. He can renew an elderly woman like Sarah. He can add years to Hezekiah's life. He can strengthen an 85-year young warrior named Caleb to take his mountain. And he can renew our youth.
That's right.
If you will believe it. You must take it for yourself. The promise is real. We're not talking about just good Bible stories. If this happened under the Old Covenant, because most of these examples I've shared with you were under the Old Covenant, how much more? To quote from Romans, how much more for us who live not in the shadow of these promises, but under the reality of their fulfillment in Jesus? How much more can we have our youth renewed, our health restored, and years added to our life? Strength given to us by the Lord. So we finish our race well and accomplish all He's called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Modern day example of this is Kenneth Copeland. I think he's 83 years old. Still has the head of hair he had probably when he was 45. It's amazing. Doesn't color his hair. It's almost all brown. His original hair. Now he's very deliberate. He speaks to those hair follicles every day. He looks in the mirror and says, "Hair, you will stay attached. You will not turn gray." He talks to his head of hair. And you can see the results. It's not Grecian formula. By the way, another old person joke. They don't call it gray hair. It's wisdom highlights. I like that. Praise the Lord. You're a wise woman. So let me recap. How do we have our youth renewed? By allowing God to forgive all our sins.
Yes.
Amen.
And we take that daily.
Yes.
We walk in that forgiveness.
Yes.
We receive that forgiveness. Even for stuff we knew better. Dan? That's walking in forgiveness. We allow Him to heal all our diseases. A disease is anything that puts you at dis-ease. Don't let your knees get sore. Talk to those knees. Bind pain. Say, "You're a strong knee." I do it all the time. I go upstairs. If I start to feel a twinge, I say, "No, you're a strong knee. You're a pain-free knee." See, we take this stuff by faith.
Amen.
Because it's promised to us. He heals all our diseases. We don't have to age like the rest. We don't have to die like the rest.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
We can live long. We can live strong.
Amen.
We trust His deliverance from the biggies. He redeems us from destruction.
That's right.
We put our trust in that.
That's right.
The train won't hit our car. The meteor won't fall on our house. The biggies. That's important too, because you know, if you're going to have your youth renewed, you got to avoid the biggies. Praise the Lord.
Avoid the boogers.
All this redemption is in Jesus. Stand together with me. He renews our youth like the eagles. We're going to talk more about it next week. There's a lot to be said there about how an eagle renews its youth. But suffice it to say, if it's in the Word, I want it. If other people had it, I can too. But it doesn't just fall on you out of a tree. You have to take it. You have to possess it by faith. But it's there for you. How much more under the new covenant? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your promises, which are yes. And amen. in you. We say amen to them. Lord, you've forgiven us of all our sins. You've healed us of all our diseases. You've redeemed us from destruction and the pit. You've crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. You've renewed our youth by satisfying us with good things in life. Like the eagles, we mount up. And Lord, we will finish our days strong with quality of life. And when we go, we don't have to go diseased.
Thank you, Lord.
We can just go.
Amen.
We will just go. We will fall asleep in you. For this is the promise. This is the heritage of the saints. And we take it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Again, I want to reiterate, if you need prayer of any kind, we're not in a hurry today. We want to dismiss those of you that need to go. But if you need additional prayer, you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you need healing and didn't come up earlier, we're still here for you. Amen. So come and be blessed. We'll see you Wednesday or Sunday. God bless you.